Janae, and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I leave here for a week, and there's all this fighting and chaos going on right now. And we're only a week one of the NFL's preseason. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., back with you guys here. Janae Agwimike going to join us, as always, in the 5 o'clock hour here. And man, I did not anticipate coming back and seeing all this infighting as Chinea is getting ready to return to the court to grace us with her presence out here in Connecticut. I expected to see people hot and bothered about the NFL preseason because even while I was away and I had a nice restful week last week, got ready to go, started to get that itch though because I sat around this past week and even though I was on vacation, I was supposed to be enjoying the time off, the NFL's first round of preseason games rolled onto my screen. We got the Hall of Fame game teaser the other week, but this was the first full slate of it. And I'll be damned if I didn't find myself still sitting down and freaking out over some undrafted free agent, which team decided to play their quarterback for how many reps. What the hell were you doing, Carolina? All of this latched me in already. So we got a jam-packed football show for you guys today. We're going to keep Three and Out going, our NFL preseason preview. We have more for you today right here, the Ravens and the Browns, as we look at the AFC North continuing along here. We'll get to that with Jamison Hensley and Emmett Golden from their respective cities there. Mina Kimes going to join us here as well, reflect on the preseason weekend and the big mistake the NFL is making with its rules. But before we give you that, in addition to some top five and bottom five, the story of the weekend was the rookie NFL quarterbacks, right? We had five first-round draft picks at quarterback going into the season, and I've heard everyone up and down the lineup talking about them today. So it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Because no one combined more of the on-field performance with the soundbite that people are going to go crazy with, quite like Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears. Because Fields went out there and did exactly what anyone who watched him in college expected him to do. Right, Justin Fields, 14-20, 142 yards, and a touchdown in addition to five rushes for 33 yards and a touchdown. And it tickled Bears fans just enough, right, who have been looking for their savior. I don't think they got anything to go ahead and deter that, right? There's no reason to deter these good feelings. Based on what you saw, Justin Fields, and really based on what we've known all along, should be the Bears' week one starter. There shouldn't be a lot of question around that. Now, we'll get to something that I think Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN NFL front office insider, got wrong this morning on KJ&Z when it comes to what Justin Fields starting means for that staff. But Justin Fields, in addition, went out there and looked every bit as poised as the player we saw at Ohio State, the one who had Jake Fromm out here catching strays today. He looked great outside of the pocket. He extended plays with his legs. He showed a level of maturity in his decision-makings and ability to check down and do all the things you want to see. It looked easy to him, and he made sure to remind everyone of just that after the game. Here was Justin Fields, the Bears, I presume, starting quarterback, on adjusting to the NFL game speed.
It was actually kind of slow to me, to be honest. I was expecting it to be a little bit faster, but, you know, practicing, you know, game speed, going at it with my teammates every day, and, of course, you know, we have a great defense, so me going against them every day, It definitely slowed the game up a little bit for me. So, I felt comfortable out there. And I have room to grow. So I'm just going to try to get better each and every day.
Now, man, it's amazing when you play that whole soundbite here how unabrasive it sounds when Justin Fields goes out and says, yes, I feel comfortable out there in preseason game one. But when you give the nod that the game felt pretty slow to me, you know everyone's going to latch onto that part. Because we want you to talk, but not too much. We want you to say something, but not the thing. And for a lot of people, Justin Fields might have said the thing. I heard Charles Peanut Tillman, former Bears player, peanut punch, all that good stuff, on Sunday morning on ESPN Radio, and you could already see it coming up. Not making too big a deal out of it, but the natural reaction to Justin Fields, star rookie quarterback, walking into a league that he hasn't played a meaningful snap in yet, saying the thing about the game feeling slow.
I think you put a small target on your back because when the regular season starts, the game does speed up. And, you know, kudos to him for thinking that he's prepared. I get it. I don't mind the a young rookie having confidence, but at the same time, you didn't start the game. You kind of went in the second quarter. I'm sure maybe the Dolphins might have taken some of their starters out. I'll just say the game does get faster. Be careful what you wish for. The game does get faster. But again, just young, growing, learning. I think he'll learn how fast the game is also.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. And again, this is what happens. We are so thirsty for football right now that we're going to latch on to this. And Peanut is probably not alone. Like, deep down, the football player that was a much smaller portion of my life that exists in me heard that quote at first, the initial soundbite of him just saying,
it was actually kind of slow to me.
Like, just hearing that part, the initial part, the football guy in me goes, all right, man, like, rookies, freshmen, seen and not heard. That was always kind of what we were taught. But again, when you hear the totality of the soundbite, it's a lot less abrasive. And it's just a reminder that bulletin board material is so easy to come by. But that's not going to be the worry for Justin Fields and this staff. No, the worry is just going to be, how does it actually translate to the field? Because there are still a lot of other portions of that Bears team. Justin Fields mentioned going up against that defense every day, how that's been the part that's prepared for him. I worry about, is he going to be protected? And are we going to see these Bears weapons that we felt have been hamstrung by their quarterback situation be able to blossom in this offense? But really, there's not a lot of pressure on Justin Fields. And what Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN NFL front office insider, brought up on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning was what this means for that coaching staff. And this is the spot that I disagree with, where Mike Tannenbaum says that he believes Justin Fields and putting him on the field early is the best option for Matt Nagy to keep his job.
If I'm looking through the lens of Matt Nagy, Justin Fields gives me the best chance to keep my job, and here's why. That offensive line is really going to be a problem. Show me the track record of signing a 39-year-old injury-prone offensive lineman who didn't have an offseason program that's going to play in 17 games. I'm not going to bet on that. Because of that, Justin Fields and his athleticism, as you mentioned, Shea, gives us the best chance to win right now. Not in 10 minutes, not in an hour, not in 3 weeks. Right now, Andy Dalton can't move. Justin Fields can. And when you have that offensive line issues, it's really, you're now making a decision that's really more out of necessity. And Matt Nagy keeps saying, like, well, I was in Kansas City. We had Alex Smith. Alex Smith handed the baton after a year to Patrick Mahomes. That's not this situation. Alex Smith took that team to the playoffs. Alex Smith was a winning quarterback, and they had a good offensive line.
Now, that 39-year-old player he's talking about was future Hall of Famer Jason Peters, the former Eagles left tackle that signed with Chicago. And I'm with Mike on that. The difference is, yes, you're right. If you view this through the prism of Matt Nagy gets to keep his job if this team does good enough, then yes, I agree with him. But there is a middle ground here, right, where Justin Fields being a rookie behind an offensive line that's going to need help on a team that's going to work in a division that's already going to make it tough for them because the bad man Aaron Rodgers lives there. All of these work into this argument that Justin Fields could still go out and look good, and the franchise could, like, and I've read you, if you guys have listened to this show for any number of weeks, months, a year almost coming up soon, there are plenty of instances in recent NFL history where a team has drafted a highly ranked quarterback in the first round, has gone through that season with him, and has looked and said, we like the potential of him. We don't want this staff to mess it up. And Matt Nagy and this staff right now are one of those coaching staffs that are limping into this season. Stronger finish to the end of last year than a lot of people would have given them credit for, but still limping into this season. And if you see enough from Justin Fields, like, the needle they're trying to thread is so small to where you've basically, in my mind, got to be a playoff team or at the very worst in the conversation for that, for them to look and say, this marriage of Justin Fields and Matt Nagy is still what we're looking for, and not, we got proven commodity here at the quarterback. We got something we think we can work with. We got to get him a coach that's going to maximize all that. Now, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Want to get your reactions to what you saw from your team in the NFL's preseason weekend one that was. 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll take your calls on the reaction to your team's first preseason game. But coming up next, let's get back in that football feeling. We had an NFL weekend that was, which means we got to give you the best and worst of it. It's top five, bottom five, coming up next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
AP Top 25 is out for the 2021 college football season, coming up in about 10 minutes. Tell you why, this year's college football season is giving us strong notes of The Office already. It's Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. here with you guys. And before we get to the world of college football, which I'm very excited about here, get back on the road, call some games this fall. We had an NFL Sunday, and I know there's a lot of people that balk at the idea of, oh, are you really going to watch all four quarters of these preseason games? Or are you really going to gamble on the NFL preseason? What's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with you. To me, you are beautiful. To me, you are perfect. People looking at second half overs for the NFL preseason. And so that gives us a lot to take away because we had the Hall of Fame game not too long ago. This weekend, though, we had a full slate of NFL preseason games. And so when we have a full slate of games around here at Chenea Golic Jr., we like to give you the best and worst of it here. We like to borrow from one of our friends, Ryan McGee, author of The Bottom Five in College Football, and give you the top five and bottom five of the weekend that was. So we want to start on a good note around here, get you off on your ride home here. So let's hit them with the NFL top five from the weekend that was.
Which teams were great?
Breaks a tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted! He couldn't hang on!
This is the NFL Top 5, Bottom 5.
All right, the top five from the NFL weekend that was here.
Number 5.
I'm going football hipster immediately right now. One of the best parts of the NFL preseason is seeing the deep parts of these rosters. For those of us that are crossovers from the world of college football, number five, shout out to undrafted free agent running back for the Washington football team, Jarrett Patterson. Now, you might say 70 combined yards, 40 on the ground, 30 through the air in his preseason debut might not be much, but already drawing praise from head coach Ron Rivera and for anyone who watched that game. He was a first down churning machine throughout the course of this. He was a monster at the University of Buffalo. 8 touchdowns in a game, over 400 yards on multiple occasions here, and yet somehow y'all let him go undrafted. I promise you, for many around here who have touted the Washington football team as a very real contender to win the NFC East this year, this young man's going to play a factor in that. You mark my words. Number four. God, it is peak football that I'm already screaming about undrafted running backs 1 week into this. Number four, I do want to give credit to a guy that I think through the draft cycle here ended up getting put in a place that he didn't need to and now is right where he belongs. Mac Jones at number four in this. The first round pick at 15 overall for the New England Patriots out of Alabama. Mac Jones was the victim of being placed too close to the prize here. He was the Icarus. We flew too close to the sun with all this talk about him to the Niners and that love affair at number three. Mac Jones went out there this weekend and looked exactly like Mac Jones does and has for the year we saw him in college football. 13-19 for 87 yards, took one sack, no touchdowns, no interception, but did exactly what you'd expect. Got the ball out of his hands quick, was decisive, and is not explosive. Like, when the pocket breaks down, that guy's a dead man. And going against Washington, we saw an instance of how that can pop up. Hey, Chase Young, how you doing? But Mac Jones showed why he's probably going to be the starter in an offense that is used to having a statue quarterback back there. Cam Newton has come in and done exactly what this organization has asked him to. But when we saw the physical deterioration of him last year, I see no reason why this guy who can go out here and play point guard in an offense that got so much back after last year, Mac Jones, I feel like is settling into exactly what we thought he should be all along. Number three. Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, hitting you with the top five from the NFL weekend that was. And this is another one that, again, a victim of circumstance. Shout out to Jordan Love, man. 17-22 for a buck 22 and a TD. Now, he did get an MRI after the game that came back clear, but looks like he might miss the next preseason game. But after an offseason roller coaster ride, a battle between Aaron Rodgers and the organization here that had him sitting here like the child in the middle of a very fiery divorce, Jordan Love went out there and looked like an NFL quarterback. I know it was preseason one. I know he's playing a team in Houston that will probably at some point ask this year, could they lose lose to Alabama's team over the course of the season. They're going to be that bad. But Jordan Love looked composed. He made plays out there. He looked like a player going into his second year with the benefit of all that time under task last year. And I was happy to see, because through no fault of his own, he's been the centerpiece of the biggest story of the offseason. And he went out there and just got to play football for a little while.
Number two,
it's technically football, and I don't care if you want to make this about the NFL or not. Anyone watching on ESPN Plus sees me adorned in an AFC Richmond hat, and this weekend, Ted Lasso put out a Christmas special that immediately enters holiday canon right now. It is technically football, AFC Richmond trying to work their way back from relegation. They brought the heat in here. This season was lined up for 10 episodes. Apple ends up ordering 12. And so we get a couple of standalones here. And for the naysayers, like our SEC Network host Peter Burns, who say you can't have a holiday special in August, I say it only highlights what a potent drug Christmas can be when you plop it in the middle of the August, and I'm still on the verge of tears the entire time watching Ted Lasso fill my screen with Christmas cheer. Number one, maybe.
Number one.
No joke, Junior. I was trying to get the Christmas and Hollis going there. That's,
you know,
on me.
I appreciate it. No, it's, again, like putting a Christmas special in August, it is the thought that counts. Number one, though, I got to give
number
this
one
to Justin Fields. Going out here and giving Bears fans exactly what we wanted. We talked in the first segment, he should be the starter day one. This is not a Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City situation, because Andy Dalton's not that guy anymore. He's also coming over in his first season with this Bears team right now. But Justin Fields is going to give you so much of what he can't, what most other quarterbacks can't. Big play potential because of what he can do with his legs. He is a top-level athlete that's going to, even in this league, be able to make some guys miss on the perimeter, but he has got a maturity and a poise about him that's hard to find. It's the reason why so many of us were surprised that he got down to the level where Chicago could come get him anyway. So that's the top five of the NFL weekend that was here. We'll hit you with the bottom five coming up later in the show. Spoiler alert, it is dominated by fisticuffs in the stands right here. One woman woke up and chose violence, and the rest of us benefited from that. Now, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Coming up next, though, some things change, some stay the same. We will tell you the big shift that might be ready to happen in the world of college football. We'll do it after this word from Barbasol. Now, in 1919, Barbasol introduced the very first no-brush, no-lather, no-rub-in shaving cream. And today we celebrate this milestone with a fresh take on the original. Introducing Barbasol's 1919 Classic Shaving Cream, culmination of over 100 years of shaving excellence. This new non-aerosol shaving cream is fortified with aloe, coconut oil, shea butter, all to smooth and protect your skin. And that combination just sounds sexy as hell. I'll say it. Paired with a fresh and calming fragrance, this ultra-slick formula delivers a shave experience like no other. It's so good, I used it to shave my entire head. Learn more at Barbasol.com. Nick Saban and the Tide back in the driver's seat next here on ESPN Radio.
As a fan, this is amazing.
No, it is.
This is the time of the year.
This is what we talked about.
This is real, man.
This is real.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Freddie Coleman, and you know I'm ready.
This is Greedy. Northwestern is ready.
Ian Fitzsimmons here. I'm ready. And so are Oklahoma and Texas. Sort of. The SEC.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio. Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. in about 10 minutes, we'll get to our NFL preseason preview rolling along here. Three and out, the three biggest questions facing every team in the NFL. We got the back half of the AFC North, Ravens and Browns today. We'll check in with Jamison Hensley, our ESPN Ravens reporter, coming up in about 10 minutes and get you right for the upcoming season for Lamar Jackson and company. But we said it's starting to feel like football season around here. Like, we're all sitting around during the breaks. I'm arguing Javonte, who's new around here on the show, is a Michigan grad, so I now have a very, like, clear enemy inside Bristol's hallways here. It's bad enough we get Travis, who's usually around here, as an Ohio State fan. The Midwest on Midwest crime in here is going to be staggering, but that feels good. Like, arguing about this in the future of Jim Harbaugh feels right. And that only got reinforced today because we got the other thing that people love to argue about that came out. The AP Top 25 preseason poll came out today, and stop me if you've heard this one before. Alabama, number one, for the fourth time in the last six seasons, coming off their sixth national title under Nick Saban. They get 47 of the 63 first-place votes. They're followed by Oklahoma at 2, Clemson at 3, Ohio State at 4, and Georgia at 5. Texas A&M, Iowa State, Cincy, Notre Dame, and North Carolina round out that top 10 here. And this is always a difficult thing, I think, for me and for a lot of people, the idea of what the preseason rankings mean, right? Because on one side, they're great for doing what we want to do, build up the hype around these matchups. We got five ranked versus ranked matchups in week one, highlighted by that Clemson and Georgia opening week game. Like, that's awesome. It gets us jazzed. It gets us excited. But we know on the other side of that, the tough part is we also tend to hold on to those things for way too long when it comes to some of these teams around here that are going to do a little bit of losing early on in this series. And I can already hear the cries from out west in Pac-12 country, who looks at teams like Auburn, who year after year lose 3-4 games in the SEC and are still ranked near or inside the top 10 because we look at the juggernaut that conference has been, and they can only see it getting worse now that the Texas and Oklahoma move appears imminent. Bringing those two teams over from the Big 12, that's only going to reinforce that echo chamber idea that, man, this conference full of great teams, if you lose two or three games in here, how can we realistically put you out of here? And so that's the difficult part about all this. But we go back. The central focus of all this, of getting these teams out here, of talking about it, is to really drive towards the TV ratings of all of this, to create hype around these matchups here. And that's what's really moving and shaking everything right now. Because we can talk about the fact for Alabama that Bryce Young has not played a down yet. We've heard all about his damn near seven-figure NIL endorsements that he's got lined up. We can talk about all the talent that's coming back with Georgia. JT Daniels going to be at the helm from week one on in a way that, I promise you, doing their bowl game last year, you recognize why teams like this do this year after year. They're playing Cincinnati, who under Luke Fickell has been phenomenal. But I'm getting ready to do that game on ESPN Radio, and I'm looking down their roster, and it's five stars, backing up five stars, backing up five stars. And so now you put a competent quarterback at the helm of that, and man, this should probably be the year for Georgia. But all of this has been eclipsed so much, and the reason I get so excited, by this idea of conference realignment, by what we've talked about after the Texas and Oklahoma thing happened here. And this is where I think it gets interesting, because now we start to hear other things leaking out here. We always wondered, after Texas and Oklahoma made these waves here, what would be the next big move? Who would start to get nervous and maybe jump ship? Well, maybe it doesn't have to be that severe. Adam Rittenberg, our ESPN college football writer, was on Darian and Mel this weekend after writing an article and breaking some news about the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 potentially forming an alliance. Now, fans of The Office are probably hearing Dwight and Jim in the back of their heads, but for the rest of us wondering, what does this actually mean here? Here is Adam Rittenberg from Darian Mel this weekend talking about that potential.
Now, there's other areas where an alliance could be successful as well, especially with the continued discussions about an expanded CFP that will really heat up again in September, a late September meeting is scheduled in Chicago. So I think these three leagues, if you look at them, their membership are probably the most similar. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 have a partnership that goes back many, many decades because of the Rose Bowl. The ACC and the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have a lot of the, you know, kind of similar type schools in them. So I think there's a sense that they should unite in some form or fashion, if possible, especially as the SEC continues to consolidate power.
And what this alliance could look like might have something to do with, like Adam said, scheduling, not ruling other things out here. We saw the commissioner of the Pac-12 and the Big Ten together at the Rose Bowl discussions going on here. But what's this really about? Andy Staples over at The Athletic wrote an article about the 4 Million Club. meaning games that crack 4 million viewers. Those are the ones that are going to get you paid in college sports. And we know why all this is happening, because these teams are looking to get paid even more. Texas and Oklahoma looking to be the rich getting richer. And Andy Staples points out that from 2015 to 2019, when you look at games that drew over 4 million viewers, again, the value games in college sports, when we talk about these hyped preseason matchups, when these rankings come out, 193 games from 2015 to 2019, single game telecasts, had over 4 million viewers. 55 of those were SEC versus SEC. 49 of those were Big Ten versus Big Ten. 13 were ACC versus ACC. 12 were Big 12 only. 5 were Pac-12 versus Pac-12. The schools with the most 4 million view games: Alabama, number one with 35. OSU, second with 31. Michigan, third with 26. Auburn and Notre Dame tied for fourth and fifth at 17 each. You see where it's all consolidated. And so, just like when the Pac-12 last year started kicking games off at 9 o'clock Pacific to try and get involved in the action, they're going back to what we all thought would be the original formula that got you success in the playoff era. After Ohio State went, won that out-of-conference game on the road against Oklahoma, made the playoff without winning their conference, which is schedule marquee out-of-conference games to get us all excited, to get you some clout in this college football playoff committee. Now, do I think it's just as simple as TV anymore? No, probably not. I think the whole package, I think the total eyeballs, I think streaming and finding young, populous alumni bases for these teams as you spread this out is going to be huge. But again, how can you create this hype? Building up matchups with the big brand names from your conferences that we know. The strong are going to have to buoy the weak. And after these conferences just watched the strong walk out of the Big 12, they're looking around and saying, we better get creative now so none of our big marquee programs get any ideas. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, where you can get a hold of us on the Goodyear hotline. But coming up next, as we take a look at the three biggest questions facing the Baltimore Ravens, we know you can circle number one for the contract extension that we're still looking around for. Next, here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. We'll get to some of the effects of the shortened NFL preseason coming up here soon. Because a lot of the same people that claim to care about the guys in the back end of the roster and their humanity, we're also the same ones saying, let's saw off as much of the preseason as we can, knowing good and damn well that affects those opportunities. So we'll take a dip into a place I'm all too familiar with, the back end of these rosters, and figure out how it affects your team and the starting quarterback battles that we got going, because we got some good ones already on display through week one of the NFL preseason. But we are working our way up to that. We do have a shorter preseason, which means we got to get everyone ready to go on this. So we've been doing three and out here, the top three questions facing every team in the NFL leading up to the start of the 2021 season. We've gone through a lot of great ones. Everyone held it down, and I appreciate the crew that helped out around here last week when I was out. But we got to finish up the back half of the AFC North right now. We got Ravens and Browns today. So, Matt Lack, let's hit the music here. Get something good in here. Oh, yeah. And if we're going to do three and out, Baltimore Ravens edition, we got to get some help. And our ESPN Ravens reporter, Jamison Hensley, joins us now on the Goodyear hotline. Matt Lack, let's fire up number three.
Number three.
Jamison, we appreciate the time. And the first question with the Ravens has to start with the quarterback. We saw Josh Allen in Buffalo get his deal. So why have we not seen that announcement yet for Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. I think it's formality. It gets done. It's not a matter of if it gets done. It's just a matter of when. I think it's better timing for both sides that it's going to happen next offseason. I'm not precluding that it could happen now, but I just think it looks like it's going to be heading to next offseason. One, the Ravens have much more cap room next year. Also, two, Lamar Jackson didn't have his stellar year. He's a year removed from the MVP year. Didn't have a great, great year. I think he feels if he puts together another MVP-like season, he will more than exceed Josh Allen's $43 million per year.
And so, Jamison, just to be clear before we get to the second question, you think this is just as much driven by Lamar Jackson's desire to bet on himself?
I think it's mutual. Every time you talk to Eric DaCosta and Lamar Jackson, they say, hey, this is not a big concern. It's going to happen. that both sides are communicating. So I think it's just a mutual agreement that it's going to get done at some point. And I think it's basically, it works as an advantage for both sides just to maybe wait until next offseason.
Number two.
All right, well, if we're going to be waiting on that, the one thing that needs to happen then is this passing attack's development. It was the number one question coming off of last year's playoff exit. And so, Jameson, for the Ravens, what can we expect out of their passing attack this year with the changes made this offseason?
Yeah, and a lot has been made about the additions at wide receiver, and rightfully so. You had drafted Rashad Bateman in the first round, added Sammy Watkins in free agency. But Bateman's, he just had groin surgery last week. He might not be there for the first 2, 3, 4 weeks. So how much they've upgraded at wide receiver remains to be seen. I think a lot really depends on the pass protection the Ravens give Lamar Jackson. They have rebuilt this offensive line, but they've had a lot of injuries. You know, this offensive line, the starting offensive line that they will put out there against the Las Vegas Raiders on Monday Night Football, they haven't had together collectively on the same field all training camp. They're hopefully by the third preseason game, they will have all these guys together. But you know with the continuity you have to have along the offensive line, that's a big question mark. So however much they've upgraded at wide receiver really won't help Lamar Jackson unless he gets that pass protection. So offensive line, a big question mark here in Baltimore.
Chenan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. talking to Jameson Hensley, our ESPN Ravens reporter, as we do three and out, the three biggest questions facing the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm with you totally. We saw almost a full hockey line change for that group up front that changed scheme, that affected Lamar Jackson. And so no doubt going to be a lot of focus there, but
number one.
I want to go to the other side of the ball, Jameson, because 2018, we saw this Ravens pass rush really able to get after it. One of the better team at sack percentage through the course of that season. A lot of bodies changing place, some acquisitions there. But that pass rush seems to have declined. Have they managed to answer or fix any of what's ailed them as far as being able to harass the quarterback up front?
I think so. And just by watching training camp, one, they drafted Adafe Owe in the first round. I know a lot of people say, oh, wait a second, is that the pass rusher from Penn State who didn't get a sack in his final collegiate year? Yes, but you look at him, and he passes the eyeball test. I mean, he looks like an NBA power forward. He is running so well out there that they're using him as gunner on punt returns or punt coverage. So he is just an athletically gifted player who I think will make a huge impact on the pass rush. Then they also added Justin Houston just a week ago, and defensive coordinator Don Wink Martindale was asked, how does Justin Houston fit in this pass rush? And he said, wait a second, Justin Houston, 97.5 career sacks, I think we'll be able to fit him in here. So with those two additions, young and old, kind of old veteran player, the Ravens really feel like they have solidified that pass rush this year.
Going to be a huge factor of it. Both lines of scrimmage really in focus as Baltimore heads into the 2020 season, trying to rebound and certainly trying to get their quarterback paid. Everyone follow him on Twitter, at Jameson Hensley, doing a great job covering the Ravens this training camp. We appreciate the time today, sir. Enjoy the rest of camp.
Hey, have a great rest of your show. Thank you.
That is three and out for the Baltimore Ravens. We'll have the Cleveland Browns coming up for you in a little bit here. And it's so interesting as we talk here, Chenan Golick Jr., about Lamar Jackson and that deal not getting done. For a lot of people, it does seem crazy, this idea that we look out at this. Josh Allen, the first of a trio of quarterbacks that are going to be linked in all of this, with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Baker Mayfield for the Cleveland Browns, who we'll get to in a little bit here. And seeing Josh be the first rattle out of the box for this discussion of these contracts. And all of us looking at it like, all right, so Josh Allen got paid for progressing and having an almost MVP season at the right time versus Lamar Jackson, who has hoisted that trophy. And yeah, last year, a little bit less than idea, dealt with some things last year, the COVID-19, missing time there, all of the game, the offensive line, like we mentioned with Jameson, kind of falling apart around him here in addition to a passing attack that stalled out. How have we not gotten this guy signed? And I think the difference is going to be different for Baker Mayfield, why that deal's not signed, versus Lamar Jackson on this side, which is just as much about what Jameson mentioned. Lamar Jackson is going to be the guy that breaks the bank. He's already solidified himself as a guy that's going to challenge for that. And if the team coming off that last year is thinking anything otherwise, Lamar Jackson wants to make good and damn sure, confident in his abilities, because he is one of the ones who is special. And that's the difference between quarterbacks that get paid at this level and quarterbacks that don't. He wants to make good and damn sure he crosses the T's and dots the I's on a season that could net him big bucks. But coming up next, while that question might hang in the balance for Lamar Jackson, what are the questions we need answered? And soon, heading into a shortened training camp, we'll tell you next here. Chinay Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to Chinay Angola Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.